Yes, welcome back to the first show of 2013 here on World Football Daily. And remember, if you want to hear the whole of our first interview of the new year, you have to become a premium member at worldfootballdaily.com. Without further ado, let's get the first guest on the show. I love this man. He's one of our great Spanish football correspondents, Mr. Ben Hayward from goal.com, joining us today. Ben, how are you, mate? First and foremost, hope you had a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
I had a brilliant time, Oliver. Thank you. Yeah, I was in France for Christmas and back in Spain for New Year. Had a great time. How about yourself?
It was a fantastic time indeed. It was a quiet one because I had to work on New Year's Day, unfortunately. But it was an enjoyable one. How do the Spanish celebrate New Year, Ben?
Well, normally it's a big family meal or a meal with friends. You know, that's pretty much everywhere else. But then at midnight, you have the 12 grapes. Which is a challenge, shall we say. You know, every time the clock chimes, you have to eat a grape and make a wish. So something a little bit different.
That's definitely something different. I've never experienced a 12 grape challenge before, but I'm sure I'll be willing to give that a go next year for sure. Ben, there's been plenty going on in Spain. We haven't had any football to talk about since late December, but of course there's been plenty going on off the pitch, and now we're in January. There are players whose contracts are available for discussion for 6 months' time. Fernando Llorente is the key man really in Spain when it comes to being a free agent. Where do you see Llorente's future? Does it remain in Spain? Can it be moving on else around Europe? And if so, where is most likely?
Well, that's a big story, isn't it, Oliver, as you say? I mean, I'm very surprised, actually, that the Athletic kind of let this situation happen, you know? They must have been aware in the summer that you know, his contract was going to run out next June. And obviously, there was a contract offer on the table. But if it wasn't signing it then, perhaps they should have cut their losses in the summer. Obviously, they sold Javi Martinez as well, and they didn't want to let two of their best players leave. But now he's, you know, there's a real prospect that he's going to go for free because they've said that he won't be leaving in January. And, you know, there's bound to be lots of interest from the Premier League. I mean, he's been linked with Liverpool for a long time. Tottenham will be interested. You know, perhaps even Arsenal. There's a number of clubs who could be in for Llorente. He's a world-class striker, and there aren't too many of those about. And then there's Juventus as well, who did make a bid for him in the summer, but it was a low bid and it was rejected. So there's a number of options, but I definitely see him ending up in the Premier League.
With that, then, you don't feel that maybe something like if Falcao does leave Atletico Madrid this January, is there not a possibility maybe Llorente could come in there? Or is the financial situation in Spain so dire that players are really looking to get out of La Liga and get into some of the more wealthy leagues or at least the teams that are willing to spend more money around Europe?
Well, you know, that's an interesting option, actually, Atletico, because yeah, certainly Phil Falcao will be leaving, sadly, you know, for them, because he's a great player and he's been key, hasn't he, in success over the last season and this season too in La Liga, so that's definitely an option for Atletico. But you know, would Llorente want to move from Athletic to Atletico? Would he see it as a big step up? I personally think he's looking for a new challenge, and I think that means moving abroad. I may be wrong, but that's my gut feeling.
Is there a possibility this January that Atletico Madrid, this side that's done so well and really is staying the closest to anybody in La Liga in terms of keeping on track with Barcelona, is there a trouble that this side maybe this January could be really torn up and split apart? Because they've been talking a lot, Enrico Cesar has been talking about how it's important to end the duopoly in Spain, of obviously Real Madrid and Barcelona dominating La Liga.
That's right, he has. And I think they'll keep the side intact until the summer, at least. You know, Simeone has said that Arda Turan is not for sale. I think Falcao won't go, not in January. I think it'd be suicide for them to sell Falcao now, you know, because you'd have to bring in a replacement. And it disrupts the side. So I think he'll stay till the summer, and then I think he'll leave. But that's obviously a worry for them, you know, player sales, all the success they've had, and then, you know, just to kind of compete at the top and then the side's broken up. You see that it often happens, but you would hope that they'll keep it together at least till the summer, and then perhaps, you know, with the Falcao cash and maybe getting one or two players in cheaply, they they can compete again next season.
Is Champions League of Champions League football is essential for any top club. Is Champions League of football essential in terms of being able to find a decent replacement should Falcao inevitably leave either in January or in the summer, as you think?
I think it is essential. I mean, they're in a very good position at the moment. You'd be very surprised if they didn't make the Champions League. And I think that's one reason to sell Falcao later rather than sooner. You know, if they keep him in the summer, that gives them a great chance of maintaining this fantastic run that they've been on. And I definitely see them finishing in the top four. But as you say, you know, a player like Llorente, if they aspire to signing a guy like him, you know, he'd be on a free transfer. But a player of his caliber, the first thing they're going to want is the Champions League. So I'd say it's fundamental.
Who's going to be the busiest side in La Liga in terms of this January, in terms of bringing players in rather than losing players? Because we keep hearing week in, week out that there are so many problems with Spanish football and the financial situation surrounding it. Who can we expect to splash a little bit of cash?
You know, I'm not sure. I don't think we can expect anything much. you know, sides don't have too much money right now, and I don't really see much movement. You know, Barcelona and Real Madrid, I'm not sure they really need to sign, or perhaps if the players that they're looking for would be available right now. In any case, I'm not sure we're going to see much movement at all. To be honest, you know, the situation in Spain that you've mentioned definitely conditions club spending, and you know, I think most of the teams in the Premier League have kind of pretty much used up their spending budget for the year. So I think it's going to be a quiet January this time.
You mentioned there, obviously, the top two sides, Real Madrid, well, arguably the top two sides in Spain, Real Madrid and Barcelona. And when we left for the Christmas break, there was all the talks about Cristiano Ronaldo and Jose Mourinho's future at Los Blancos. Has there been any more developments on whether they're going to be staying or going at the end of this season, the pair of them?
There haven't been any more developments. I mean, interestingly, today Cristiano Ronaldo spoke to the press. Come out and said that the important thing is the team, you know, above individual honours, you know, like the Ballon d'Or, and above, like, even his contract renewal. He wasn't too keen on talking about that for now. So it's very much as he will. I mean, he backed Mourinho as well, I think. But yeah, I think both of them will be assessing their futures probably at the end of the season, and we'll see what happens. Obviously, the 16 points behind Barcelona, that is a huge gap to try and make up. And they've got the Champions League. That's going to be the big one now for Real Madrid, isn't it? Trying to win La Décima. If they don't do it and they don't win La Liga, perhaps we'll see some changes in the summer. But difficult to say at this stage.
There's been a bit of criticism about Real Madrid and their signing of Luka Modric. In a fans poll in Marca, it was voted that Luka Modric was the worst signing of La Liga this season so far. What do you make of that as a criticism? Because they paid a lot of money, but Modric hasn't been a dire, terrible player in La Liga, I don't think personally. Do you think it's a fair judgment to cast on the Croatian?
I find that incredible, actually, because, you know, perhaps he hasn't made the impact that they expected. You know, he, as you say, was very expensive, but he certainly had his moments. I mean, every time I've seen him, he definitely had some real quality to that midfield. And yeah, I think that's unfair. You know, perhaps it's because of the money spent. You know, they were expecting more from him, or I'm not really sure. But it's possibly a reflection also of their situation in La Liga. You know, perhaps they expected Modric to make them a match for Barcelona. You know, they probably thought they'd be in a better position. I mean, he was the star signing, wasn't he? He was the big summer signing. Mm. You know, they're very demanding fans. What you have to take into account as well is that probably a load of Barcelona fans voted in that poll.
Yeah, I doubt that. Although Alex Song was put as the second worst signing as well in that poll, closely behind Luka Modric. Some disgruntled Barca fans there as well, unless it was split down the middle with Real Madrid and Barca fans there. With the Modric situation, I mean, the criticism, it seems a little unfair. And you talk about, you know, not made the impact maybe that people were expecting. How much of that blame comes on Jose Mourinho? Because he's only given him 8 starts so far this season and 5 substitutes appearances from the bench in La Liga. It's not like Modric is failing on a week-in, week-out basis. He's doing okay and doing well on the rare opportunity that he gets to play a full 90 minutes.
That's right. Oliver, that's right, definitely. And, you know, he's been... utilised in a number of different positions as well. He's been in and out of the team. He needs time to adapt. Different country, different league, different language. I'd say he's adapting very well. He's already speaking Spanish. He's a very popular guy. And I've been impressed with him when I've seen him on his, playing for Madrid, in the, especially in the middle. You know, I think he certainly gives them something that they haven't really got. Kedira, obviously, is a more defensive type player. And Xavi Alonso, we know, is different in it. It's sort of a deeper role. But I agree with you. I think he's been very good. So I find the criticism a little harsh. I agree.
Just 2 quick last ones, Ben, before we let you go, if that's okay. There's been a managerial change at Deportivo La Coruña. Ultra, the manager, was sacked on 30 December. In comes in Domingos Paciência, the former Sporting Lisbon manager. What can we expect now from the change? Obviously, Depor have hit rock bottom in Spain. They are the bottom club on the on the foot of La Liga. What will Paciência bring and change this Depor side? Is it a salvageable job that he has on his hands to get them out of the bottom three?
I think it is. I mean, he comes with a good reputation, and a young coach with good experience in Portugal, and perhaps the right man to kind of get the best out of that Deportivo team. You know, I compare it a little bit maybe to Zaragoza. You know, Zaragoza in this time last year were in a dire state. You know, they'd only won 10 points from the first half of the league campaign, I believe. And Manolo Jimenez came in and they kept losing for a while. And then miraculously, you know, over the last few months of the season, they put it together and they got all the wins they needed to stay up. And they stayed up dramatically on the last day. Incredible story. And this season are doing very well. And, you know, Deportivo will be looking for a similar kind of reaction by bringing in Paciência. And yeah... But Paciência, they will need as well. Patience they'll need, you know, because it's not going to be an overnight thing. But it's a good time to make a change. You have time to make an impact. And, yeah, good luck to them. I'd like to see them stay up.
Just a last one. Obviously, we are in January, as we said earlier. The transfer window is open. Sevilla looking like they could be unloading their superstar Negredo. They've been on a terrible run of form heading into the winter break. Haven't lost in their last 5 games, I believe it is now. And moving on Negredo as well, because the financial complications at the club, is how can Sevilla turn around this poor run of form? Can they do that without Negredo? And where do you think he could be ending up, Ben?
Well, it's difficult to see. I mean, you lose a player like Negredo. He's been kind of, at times, the one shining light in what's been kind of a disappointing start to the season. They've had their moments, haven't they? And they did sort of beat Real Madrid. They're very close to beating Barcelona. But they're not doing it on a consistent basis. And, Michel, their coach, you know, has a big reputation, but it's not quite coming together there. And, you know, selling Negredo is not going to help. It's not going to be any good for morale either. And yeah, they'd be losing a real quality player. So it's really sad if he does indeed move on. As for where he might end up, you know, I think there could be a lot of interest from the Premier League as well. I think the teams in England are probably the ones with money to spend right now. But he's a player who could fit in into a lot of teams. You know, he's a bit more of a technical type striker than Llorente, but also very good with the speed, good in the air. Somewhere in England perhaps, I'm not sure where, but there'll be plenty of interest for sure.
Ben, it's been a pleasure to have you as our first guest of 2013. I'm delighted that you had...
It's a privilege to be the first guest.
And delighted you had some nice fresh fruit, at least, to start 2013 with your 12 grapes on the 12 strokes of the clock. Long may the good health continue, my man, and we look forward to catching up with you later on in the year.
Brilliant, Oliver. Look forward to it.
Take care.
Thanks a lot.
Take care, my man. Ben Hayward there of Goal.com joining us to talk all things Spanish football here on the opening show of 2013. If you want to hear more from Ben, remember, head to worldfootballdaily.com, become a premium member, and you'll be able to sign up and listen to all of Ben's interviews throughout the whole of this calendar year. And Spain has just been, there's been so many little bits and bobs going on. Sure, we haven't had the games like the Premier League, but there's been little news stories. Tito Villanova, 2 weeks after his successful surgery on the tumour that he's got, back into training, back into the Barcelona compound to be helping out and getting back to his duties as soon as he can. Incredible. Incredible story, that. Tito getting back to health as soon as possible is something that everybody in Spanish football, in world football, and of course here at World Football Daily, that has been wanting to see. And we wanted to see him return if and when he could. And fantastic to see him back in the Barcelona compound, getting right stuck back in to everything. You look at that Sevilla side, no wins in their last five games. Just the 1 point from those five games, four losses, the point coming against struggling Espanyol in a 2-2 draw away from home. And losing Negredo, 8 goals out of their 22 they've scored so far this season. What a massive blow that will be for them. Obviously, Spanish football's in terrible constraints when it comes to overpriced tickets, which we've chatted with Joseph Sexton and with Ben about on many an occasion here on World Football Daily throughout the season. And so we've got overpriced tickets. We've got, obviously, then grounds aren't sold out, and it's TV money's obviously still going in, but it's split pretty much to Real Madrid and Barcelona and nobody else. And then you also take in the fact that, you know, these sides have been overspending for the last few years. You look at someone like Malaga, who's got their investors who still aren't paying the bills and have been banned from UEFA competition for at least a season, possibly more if they can't prove that they've actually been handling their financial situation well. And you just wonder how long is left for La Liga in some way, shape or form in its current state, because these sides below Atletico and Real are just bleeding themselves dry at the moment, trying to keep up and trying to get that Champions League position. It makes it very exciting. We've got a very close race in terms of the Sociedad can get into the Europa League. Levante and Betis are nipping at the heels of Malaga. And there's no consistency, really, throughout the season, apart from Barcelona that seem to win everything at the moment. But there's no consistency or levels of consistency are lasting about 5-game spells or so between Malaga, Betis, Levante, Sociedad and teams like that. The Champions League spot, the final Champions League spot in Spain, is very open indeed and won't be known until the last couple of weeks of the season, as it always is. But it's like that kind of golden egg that's there for everybody. If you get it, you can guarantee yourself financial security for another season, maybe. If you don't and you overspend trying to get it, you can really hurt yourself. Malaga have got lucky, but with this ban from Europe, we were saying on one of our last shows before the Christmas break, could be very difficult indeed for them. The change of the guard as well at Deportivo La Coruña, former Sporting Lisbon manager Domingos Paciencia coming in to take on the role for the struggling La Liga's bottom side. In fact, they haven't won in over, I think it's in 8 games at least now, and really been struggling as we headed into that Christmas break. They'll be looking to bounce back as soon as possible. We've got some great games coming up in La Liga to kick it off. Barcelona against Espanyol, and Espanyol coming out as a group today and saying, look, we feel we can get a point at the Nou Camp. We were able to get something off Real Madrid earlier in the season. We can go to the Nou Camp and get something off our local rivals. Would be very interesting to see indeed if Espanyol, third from bottom in La Liga, can get anything against Barca. I kind of doubt it, Raf. Not gonna lie, I'm doubting their chances come this Sunday.
I'm there with you completely, man. There's no way they're picking up anything from them at any point in the season.
Where would you like to see
holiday miracles or not?
Where would you like to see Llorente land? Well, firstly, by the way, Raf, holiday miracles are over. You know, the holiday season's pretty much almost done now. We've had New Year. We're all back to work. Miracles don't happen while you're at work, surely. But no, the Llorente issue of now, you know, Bilbao have let this situation come about. They didn't tie him up to a new contract. They didn't move him on in August when they could have got the money. Now clubs will say, hey, look, we're not going to pay anything. We'll just wait 6 months and bring him in. Or if they are going to pay anything, it's going to be a low ball offer. Bilbao won't get very much for Fernando Llorente. He wants to move on. The club kind of want to part ways these days. Bielsa's been having him in and out of the team this season. when it comes to Llorente, where do you want to see him land, Raf? Do you want to see him go to Juve and try and be that superstar striker that they've wanted? Or would you like to see him come to the Premiership, maybe change a different side? There's talks that Arsenal would really be interested in him, even after they went and got Oliver Giroud. He's not panning out. But him and Giroud seem like very similar players in terms of the tall, physical, like love to prey on crosses that come into the box, as well as, of course, Llorente's slightly better with the ball at his feet. But still, where do you reckon he could land up? Well, where would you like to see him land, Raf?
And you think that he would make, he'd match up nicely with Santi over there, at the Arsenal as well. To be honest, I'm very, very kind of caught up in the Italian game right now. Having picked up beIN Sport, I've been able to catch back up with my Italian football, and I just love it. And it is incredibly exciting and fun to watch. So yeah, man. Whether it's Juve or any other team in Serie A, I think he would fit and slot in right quite nicely.
I would like to see him in Serie A. I mean, we were talking about it earlier, talking about Dimitar Berbatov earlier in the season and a little bit earlier on in the show as well. And Llorente strikes me as someone a little like Berbatov in terms of not being able to maybe control the game like he is, but like, would come in and take the game at a certain pace and wouldn't feel a need to rush it on. He did so well with Bilbao, with kind of everybody moving quickly around him, and then he's there playing the neat little touches and really kind of just adding to the full momentum of things, and then being able to be a finisher as well with both his head and his feet. And I'd love to see Llorente come in. I think he could do very well. I think he'd do better than Giroud's done at Arsenal, for sure. There's always the question of the adaptation to the Premiership. It's Santi Cazorla and Arteta, though, linking with him. The two Spaniards already there, of course, in the Arsenal midfield would be beautiful to watch. And you just hope that if they started to cross the ball with Oxlade-Chamberlain and Podolski, might actually be able to find him some service. Although they're looking, as we said earlier as well, Theo Walcott down the middle. I mean, it's been very hard to keep track of everything that's been going on in the Premier League, in Italy, in Spain throughout the holiday season as well. I'm not going to lie, Raf. There's been a couple of times where I've neglected to check the websites for a day because I've been lying in a comatose food state of just throughout the holiday season. I took a couple of days off from checking the papers, but you can always catch up very easy. You can catch up very easy with us indeed as well. If you're a premium member on worldfootballdaily.com, you can go back, listen to all our previous shows, listen to the holiday fun that we've been having in the time away, and of course catch up with how we left 2012 as well. www.worldfootballdaily.com. We're going to take a very quick break here on Wednesday's edition of the show. It's the first one of the new year. That was Ben Hayward chatting with us. When we come back, we're going to be wrapping up the first show and getting ready for Thursday and Friday, and looking forward to the games ahead coming this weekend. We'll catch you in just a sec.